Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is December the 2nd. We are in Shmuel Beis. We're up to the last perek. Perek Chavdala, chapter 24. Vayosef af Hashem acharos b'Yisrael. And Hashem's anger continued to be burn against the Jews. Vayoses es David bohem lemor. And he incited David against them, saying, Lech mineyes Yisrael v'es Yehuda, go and count Yisrael and Yehuda. So, two things are happening here. Hashem, for some reason, is punishing the Jewish people. It's unclear what it is. Rashi says, Le'adati alma, I don't know why. It's unclear why Hashem is punishing the Jewish people for what. But there is a punishment going on over here. And the way that Hashem chooses to punish the Jewish people is to incite David against the Jewish people, David their king, against them. Now, how would David go against the Jewish people? David's not going to attack the Jewish people. And the way that David is going to go against the Jewish people is by wanting to count the Jewish people. And we know that when the people are counted, then there is a method to do it, a way to do it, and a way not to do it. The way to do it, as we find in the Chumash, and we find again with Shaul, actually on more than one occasion, that the way they count the Jewish people is you take an item from each Jew, and then you count the items. You don't count the Jews. And David here is going to make the mistake of counting the Jews, not counting items. When Shaul had to count the army before he attacked Amalek, he had each soldier take a sheep from the flock of the king, and then they counted how many sheep were taken. Of course, we know the machatzis ha-shekel, the half shekel, is the way that the Jews are counted in the Midbar. But this is a mistake. So Hashem incites David against the Jewish people. Now, this, it's not that David is going to be blameless. He will be blamed, as we'll see later on. But Hashem is still inciting David. Now, the word vayases means to incite or to get someone to do something wrong. So I want you to hold the place over here and turn back to Shmuel Aleph. In Perek Chav Vav, chapter 26. Perek Chav Vav, chapter 26, Pasuk Yud Tes, verse 19. This incident takes place when David is running away from Shaul, and he has the opportunity to kill Shaul, and he does not do so. And instead, he goes down to the camp. They're all sleeping, he and Avishai. Avishai says to David, kill Shaul, you have the opportunity to do so. David says, I'm not going to raise my hand against the Mashiach of Hashem. And instead, David takes a flask, and he takes either a spear or a dagger or something like that, or a sword. And then he goes to the top of the mountain, and he calls out, and he wakes them up, and he points out to them, I was down there, I could have killed Shaul, and I did not. Now in Pasuk Yotes, verse 19, David says, Ve'ata, and now, Yishma na Adoni HaMelech, listen now, my master the king, talking to Shaul. Eis divrei avdo, the words of his servant. Im Hashem asis chavi, if Hashem has incited you against me, yarach mincha, then hopefully Hashem will accept my davening. I'll daven to Hashem to stop this, and hopefully Hashem will accept it. And if it's people who have incited you against me, like Doeg, Arurim Heim Lefnei Hashem, they are cursed in front of Hashem. Kigershuni Hayom Mistapeach Menachalas Hashem Lemor Lech Avod Elohim Acher, because they have chased me away from being able to be amongst the portion of Hashem. They're sending me out of Eretz Israel. So David says, if it is Hashem who has incited you against me, I'll daven. But if it's people who have incited you against me, they are cursed. So the Gemara says, Hashem says to David, he didn't actually say this to David, but as if Hashem said to David, you're calling me a Mesis? You're calling me one who incites people against other people? Is that what you're saying about me? That I incite people? Because he said, Im Hashem asis chavi, if Hashem has incited you against me. So Hashem says, you call me a Mesis? You call me someone who incites others to do sins? So Hashem says, because of that, I'm going to incite you against other people. And here is the fulfillment many, many years later, over 40 years, well, not 40, close to 40 years later, we have the fulfillment of this punishment to David, that because he called Hashem a Mesis, that Hashem incite an inciter, therefore Hashem does act as an inciter, if there is such an English word, one who incites others, and makes David do wrong against the Jewish people. What is unclear is why the Jews deserved it. And that's what Rashi is not sure about. It's clear from the verse that the Jews did deserve it. They deserved to be punished. That's clear, because it says Hashem his anger continued against the Jewish people. So there clearly is a punishment going on over here. Perhaps it's a continued punishment from the famine that went for 3 years. Maybe that there still is a still need for more kapara, more atonement. It's not clear. But there is definitely punishment to the Jewish people. The method of punishment, though, is Hashem incites David against the Jewish people. That is a punishment to David for having called Hashem one who incites others. Now, where this entire discussion of Hashem causing others to do bad, causing people to do bad to others, this is something which we will scrutinize later on in this parak. We'll discuss the entire idea of punishment being brought out through people. We'll get to that later on in the parak. So what happens in the story? Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Vayomer HaMelech al Yoav, the king said to Yoav, Sar HaChayil, who was in charge of the army, Asher Ito that was with him, Shut na b'chol shivtei Yisrael. Go and, now, shoot can mean to swim, but it doesn't really mean to swim. It means like flitter about. It means get around the entire, all the tribes of Israel. Midan va'ad Beersheva, from Dan in the north till Beersheva in the south. Ufikdu es ha'am, and count the nation. V'yadati es mispar ha'am, and I'll know the number of the nation. Now, Yoav knew this was wrong, and Yoav tried to stop it. Here, Yoav does the right thing, trying to stop David from doing something wrong. So Yoav said to the king, let Hashem add on to the nation, like them and like them 100 times. Rashi explains what Yoav is saying is, let Hashem double the nation once, then double that, then double that, then double that. So 2 to the 100th power. Let him continually double the nation, which obviously is a huge, huge number. Ve'ene Adoni Hamelech Ro'os, and the eyes of my master the king will see it happen. Let Hashem just continually make the nation grow, and you'll watch it. Adoni Hamelech, my master the king, Lama Chafetz Badavar Hazel, why would you want to know the number? Why do you want to do this? Meaning, if you're going to count the Jews, you're going to create an ayin hara, you're going to create an evil eye, which is going to be bad for the Jewish people. If you do not count the Jewish people, then that leaves open the chance for Hashem to put incredible bracha on the Jewish people and let them double and quadruple, and then again and again and again until they become a massive nation. And you, my master the king, you'll watch it happen. So why would you do this? So Yoav is gently but clearly advising the king not to do this. The word of the king was strong to Yoav, and on the officers of the army. So Yoav and the officers went out from before the king to count the Jewish people. He insisted, they had no choice, and now they're going to do it.
But they're the ones who did it, not him.
Well, they're doing it at his command.
So they don't get any...
No. Yoav is the good guy here. He's trying to stop it from happening. Now, if the king tells you to do an Avera, you're not supposed to listen. But it's not an Avera to count the Jewish people. Nowhere does it say in the Torah you're not allowed to count Jewish people. It's just that we know that it can bring an Ayin Hara, can bring about an evil eye on the people. That's why we don't do it. The Gemara, there's two reasons not to count the Jewish people. One is this Ayin Hara, this evil eye that can come on the people. The other thing is, the Gemara says that a bracha is not metsuya. You don't find blessing in something that is counted or weighed or measured. Anything which you know the exact amount, you're not going to find a bracha. The bracha is found in something which you don't know what's there, then a bracha can happen. And that the reason for that is because once you know exactly how much is there, then it would be a nes nigla, it would be an open miracle for it to increase on its own. But if you don't know what's there, you don't know how much money you have in your wallet, so Hashem can increase it. It's not a nes nigla, it's not an open miracle, it's a hidden miracle. So it by counting, by knowing the exact amount, you remove that possibility. But that wouldn't cause anything bad to happen, it just wouldn't increase. But by counting the Jewish people by heads, rather than using an item to count, it adds some sort of an ayin hara. So the Navi continues, Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Vayavru es hayarden. So the Yoav and the nation and the officers that crossed the Jordan River, vayachanu va'aroer, and they encamped in Aroer yimin ha'ir asher besoch hanachal hagod ve'el yazer, which was south of the city that was within the Nachal, the river, or the riverbed of Gad and Yazer. So they started with Gad. That's where they started. So Chazal tell us, why did they start counting with Gad? Because Gad were powerful people. They were very, very strong. They were the heads of the army. They were very strong. Yoav was hoping that there would be resistance. Let the people of God rise up and say, hey, we don't want to be counted. We don't want an Ayin Hara. So he wanted the people to rise up and say, David, we don't want this. So he was hoping that would happen. So he started with the Shevet, with the tribe, which he thought might be the most likely to, not to revolt per se, but to be very resistant to what was happening. But that didn't happen. They counted them and it was fine. Vayavo ha-Gilad, they came to Gilad. Vel Eretz Tachtim Chodshi, and to the land of Tachtim, which was a new city. Rashi explains it was sparsely populated. Again, he's hoping that this madness should stop before it becomes an epidemic. He doesn't want to go through all the Jewish people, so he's going to like the sparsely populated areas first. Vayavo Dana Yan, and they came to Dan, to a place called Yan, Visavi Vel Tzidon, and around Tzidon. Vayavou Mivtzar Tzor v'cholarei Hachivi v'Knani. They came to the fortified place of Tzor and the cities of the Chivi and the Knani. Vayetzu al Negev Yehuda Be'er Sheva, and they came out to the south of Yehuda to Be'er Sheva. Vayashutu v'chol ha'aretz, they went around the entire nation, entire land. Vayavou Miktzei Sisha Chadashim v'Esrim Yom Yerushalayim, and they came at the end of 9 months and 20 days to Yerushalayim. So it was a long endeavor, this counting of the Jewish people. It took a long time, many months. Vayiten Yoav es mispar mifkad ha'am el hamelech, and Yoav gave the number of the counting of the nation to the king. How much was it? Once they're being counted, we may as well know. Vatihi Yisrael, the Jewish people were 800,000 ish chayol shalef cherev. They were 800,000 soldiers drawing the sword, meaning able-bodied men from the army. V'ish Yehuda 500,000 ish, and the men of Yehuda 500,000. Yehuda was the largest tribe by far. And so you had a total of 1,300,000 people that would be men for the army. So we're in the Chumash, we find 600,000 men between 20 and 60. Here you have 1.3 million men for the army, which I don't know if it's the entire group between 20 and 60, but these are the people who able-bodied men fit to fight, 1.3 million. So you have to extrapolate out from there. You have to presume that the entire nation were several million people big, because in the Midbar, where we're 600,000 people, between 20 and 60, then the estimates for the entire nation were between 2 million and 3 million people. So here, you have more than double that. So we're talking around, I assume, 6 million people, 7 million, something like that. It's a bunch of people.
Why would you have separated that and counted?
You find it all the time. Yehuda's always separated out because they were the largest. And they're the largest ones. Yeah.
Have they ever thought of those? Yeah, they are. Never mind.
Now, in Divrei Hayamim, the count is mentioned as well, and it's a higher number. It's 1.5 million is the number in Divrei Hayamim. So it's higher. So the question is, why the discrepancy? So there's two answers given, not 1.5, excuse me, 1.6 million. In Divrei Hayamim. In Divrei Hayamim, it says that the Jewish people were 1.1 million, and Yehuda was close to 500,000 as well, like over here. So that's 1.6 million. So there's a 300,000 difference. So why the difference? So there's two answers given to this question. One answer given is that Yoav, in one count, left out two tribes. He left out Levi and he left out Binyamin. He felt he had a good excuse to leave them out. Levi, because we find Levi was not counted with the Jewish people in the Chumash, so he felt he could do the same thing here. So he tried to leave them out of the count. And also Binyamin, because since Binyamin had been decimated in the story of Pelegesh Begiva, at the end of Shoftim, which we did not learn together yet, so since that happened, so Yoav felt that Binyamin should be spared any further harm. So he tried to leave them out. So one number reflects leaving them out. That's the number here, which is 1.3 million. But ultimately, he did have to count them. And that's the number of Divrei Hayom of 1.6 million.
And he said ultimately he had to count them. Was them just Binyamin or Binyamin and
Levi? And it seems Binyamin and Levi. That's what it seems. Yeah. And the other answer given is that since he's counting the army, it was 1.3 million in the regular army, and then 300,000 were officers, various ranks of officers. So that's why there's two different numbers. Either way, the total number is really 1.6 million, not 1.3 million. So the deed was done. The counting was done. Pasuk Yud, verse 10, Vayach lev David oso acharei chein safar esa'am. David's heart, it literally means it struck him. He was very upset after he counted the people. David realized he had done something wrong. And now he regrets it. He's upset. Vayomer David al Hashem. David said to Hashem, Chatasi ma'od. I've done a terrible sin. Asher asisi that what I've done. V'ata Hashem. And now Hashem, haver na es avon avdecha. Remove the sin of your servant. Kiniskalti ma'od. For I have been very foolish. I've done the wrong thing. David realized he did the wrong thing.
But he could have stopped it along the way.
Yeah, but he didn't. He didn't. It wasn't until here that he realized it, and now he regrets it. Vayakam David babokir. David got up in the morning. Udvar Hashem haya el God hanavi. And the word of Hashem came to God, the prophet, Choze David Lamar, the seer of David, saying, Haloch v'dibarta el David. Go and speak to David. Koamar Hashem, so says Hashem. Shalosh. Anochi no tel alecha. Three things. I am coming. I am taking against you. Meaning that one of the following three things I'm going to do against you. Bechar lecha achas mehem ve'es alach. Choose one of them, and I'll do it to you. But one of these three punishments is going to happen. Vayavo God al David. God came to David. Vayagel and he told him. Vayomel and he said to him. Hasavo lecha, would you like to come for you? Now, these are your choices. Sheva shanim rav baratzecha, a 7-year famine in your land. Now, remember, they already had a 3-year famine. So, and people die in famines. It's not just, it's hard to find sushi. You know, a famine means people are going to die of starvation. That's one. V'im shlosha chadashim nuscha lifnei tzarecha, or 3 months you'll have to run before your enemies, meaning you'll get attacked and lose the battles and your enemies will be in control for 3 months. V'urod fecha, they will chase after you. V'imeyos shloshes yamim dever ba'artzecha, or would you prefer 3 days of plague in your land? That's your third choice. Ata da'ure'e, now know and see, ma'ashiv shalchi davar, what should I say back to the one who sent me? God says to David, what should I say back to Hashem who sent me to give you these terrible choices, this terrible choice? And here we have a very, very famous pasuk. Vayomer David el God, David said to God, Tsar li ma'od, I am very pained. Nipla naviyan Hashem, let us fall now in the hands of Hashem. Ki rabim rachamav, because His mercy is very great. Uviyad adam al epola, let me not fall in the hands of man. I choose the plague over the famine and over the losing battles of war. I would rather be in the hands of Hashem. I don't want to be in the hands of man, which obviously, if it's going to be a battle that's waged against him, then he's being attacked by man. So that's clear, and he doesn't want that. And as our sages explain, Chazal explain, the famine also is controlled somewhat by man, because what happens in a famine is the wealthy end up having food, and it ends up being the way that they deal with the problem affects who lives and who dies. If you're close to someone wealthy who was able to stockpile food and get the food for exorbitant prices, then you won't starve. Otherwise, a person would starve. So there is a human element over here of where people are making choices that affect who lives and who dies. But in a plague, where there is no cure for the plague, it's whoever Hashem decides to strike dies. And whoever Hashem doesn't decide to strike lives. It's very clear, straightforward. You can try to stay away from those who are infected because of possible being contagious. But ultimately, there's a very minimal human element over here. Obviously, if it's curable, then there's a great deal of human element. But if it's not curable, then the human choice has very little to do with who lives and who dies. So David says, I would prefer to take the one which is completely in the hands of Hashem, of who's going to live and who's going to die. Why? Ki rabim rachamav, because He has great mercy. Now, before we explain that, let me just say one other thing, which is that there's, besides the fact that Hashem has great mercy, David chose the plague for a different reason as well. He chose the plague because he didn't want to have an advantage over the people. See, David is going to survive this punishment, even though the punishment is against David. It's also against the Jewish people. For whatever reason, as we said, we don't know why the Jewish people are being punished, but they are being punished. So the punishment is against the Jewish people, the individuals who die, the family members, the families who lose family members in the deaths. It's a terrible, terrible strike against the Jewish people, terrible calamity. David is also in pain. It doesn't say who lived and who died, but as we're going to see, David is going to lose someone very, very close to him and very important to him. He's going to lose in this plague. So he will also be affected, but he himself is not going to die. Had it been a war, then David would have had an unfair advantage, because we know David is the most powerful warrior on the face of the earth. So even if there's a war that's killing many, many, many people, David still is more likely to survive. If it's a famine, David's the king, so he's the wealthiest of everybody. He's got food. So as much as he may try to help the nation, but the fact is, it's unlikely that he would starve to death. But in a plague, the plague knows no. It knows no.
Right.
What's that?
Hatred.
Right. It's a great equalizer. So David preferred that so that no one would accuse David of having an unfair advantage. Hashem will kill who he wants to kill, and he will leave alive who he wants to leave alive. So even though it comes through David, the punishment, nevertheless, David will survive this plague. But he will not escape unscathed, as we will see later. Not tonight. Next time we learn, it's Hashem, we'll see later that there will be a significant loss for David. Yeah. Yes, that's why it's a famous pasuk. We read it before Tachanun. Before in davening in the morning, before we say Tachanun, we read this pasuk. Now, what does it mean, ki rabim rachamav, because Hashem's mercy is great? And this is going to be the main discussion we're going to have this evening. We've talked about this before in different contexts, and tonight we're going to deal with it extensively. This is really a major, major hashkafic discussion, it's the Torah outlook on how these things work, and it's very important that we are aware of how things happen and how Hashem runs the world when it comes to these sorts of things. At face value, it shouldn't make any sense. What difference does it make whether it is Hashem who's killing the people or whether it is, let's say, the Plishtim who are killing the people? After all, if the Plishtim attack and certain people get killed and certain people don't get killed, then aren't we to assume that the ones who got killed are the ones that Hashem wanted to be killed, and the ones who live are the ones that Hashem wanted to live? So it's no different than if it comes from the Plishtim or if it comes from a plague. Similarly with a famine. So people are dying, and there's rich people who have money and have food, and they're feeding different people. So the ones who they feed and live, we would presume, are the ones that Hashem wanted to live. And the ones who they don't feed and die, we would presume are the ones that Hashem didn't want them to live. So what's the difference whether the who lives and who dies is dictated by a plague, which is coming from Hashem, or dictated by a person's choice, the choice of the nation that would attack the Jewish people, or by the rich people who are trying to take care of whoever they can in a famine? What's the difference? Why should David prefer the plague? And he says, because Hashem has great mercy. Hashem has great mercy, he's running the show anyway. No matter how it happens, he has great mercy. Just as his mercy can stop the plague, his mercy can stop the Plishtim, and his mercy can stop the famine. So what's the difference? So it's clear from here that the punishment is different, and it's quantifiably different if Hashem punishes directly or if he punishes through a human being. If it's through a human being, then the fact that Hashem has much rachamim, he has great mercy, is mitigated by the fact that human beings are doing the punishing. Whereas, if it's coming directly from Hashem, there is nothing to get in the way of Hashem's great mercy. So what does that mean? What does that mean, that it gets in the way of Hashem's mercy? It doesn't get in the way of Hashem's mercy. How do we understand that? So my Rosh Yeshiva of Weinberg, Zechar Racha, used to explain that, and again, we've talked about this before, that if a person is gets sick, God forbid, a person gets a sickness, not the type of sickness that a person gets because they were careless, not because they went out in the cold without a coat or something like that. That if a person does that, that means they brought it on themselves. There's no difference between doing something unhealthy or jumping off a bridge. If a person decides to do something unhealthy, they're going to get sick. That's the way nature works, and a person, they can't blame God for that. That's their own doing. But if it's a sickness that they didn't bring upon themselves, and nebuch, they got sick. So if that happens, we know that it is Hashem who has decreed this person should be sick. Why has he decreed this person should be sick? We never really know the answer to that question. Is it possible it's a punishment? It's possible. But there are many other reasons why Hashem could have decreed a person get sick. It's not just punishment. There's many other challenges, whatever it is, whatever the whole litany of reasons why Hashem does things. And there's not only punishment. Punishment is only one of many possibilities. The Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, and Derech Hashem, the way of God, goes through, I believe, eight different possibilities for why Hashem would do something negative to a person, not necessarily punishment. But okay. But there, at least we're sure that it's coming from Hashem. So that's if a person gets sick in a way that was not brought on by his own careless behavior. Fine. So now, a person is walking along, minding his own business, and he's attacked. Some thug attacks him, knocks him down, breaks his bone, and steals his money. So he lost his money, he has a broken bone. He has to recuperate, and he lost money. So how does he look at that attack? Does he say, well, evidently, I was supposed to have a broken bone, and I was supposed to lose my money. And Hashem brought the thug against me in order to break my bone and to take my money. But had the thug not attacked me, it would have happened anyway. Hashem doesn't really need a thug to do it. It could be done differently. I could fall down and break my bone. I could lose my money. I could drop my wallet and not find it. Whatever it is. There are other ways that the two bad things could have happened. But Hashem did it through a human being. But it would have happened anyway. Now that doesn't absolve the thug, because he did make his choice. He chose to hurt this person, so he's going to get punished for having made that choice. But nevertheless, that's from the thug's perspective. But from the victim's perspective, does he look at it the same way we look at a sickness that comes from Hashem? Do we say that he was just Hashem's agent to break this person's bone and take his money? Is that the way we look at it? Or do we say that had the thug not made his poor decision, had he not used his bechira, his free will, to attack this person may never have had a broken bone and may never have lost his money. The reason why he has a broken bone and has lost his money is because the thug made a choice to attack him. And because of the thug's free will, which everybody has free will, he was able to bring pain and suffering on this person that the person would not have had the thug not made the poor choice. So my Rosh Yeshiva, Weinberg Zalracha, used to say, from here, you see that the second is true. That just because the thug attacked this person, and the person now has a broken bone, and the person lost his money, that does not prove that it would have happened otherwise. It's possible it would have happened otherwise. It's possible that Hashem made a shidduch, that here he had a person who needed a broken bone and needed to lose money, and here he had a person who has made a poor choice and has decided to attack somebody, and he brought the two together. It's a match made in heaven. It's a shidduch. So he brought the two together, and one carried out his evil plan, and the other one got what he deserved. That's possible. And we know that it's possible. We know the Torah tells us that if one man kills on purpose, but there were no witnesses, he's a murderer. He killed someone on purpose, but there were no witnesses. Really, he should be put to death, but there are no witnesses. Someone else killed someone with negligence, which means he now should be running to an Eir Miklat, to a city of refuge, but there were no witnesses, so he's walking around scot-free. He really should be in an Eir Miklat. So Hashem makes a shidduch. He brings the two together. Hashem ina liado. He brings the two together. And he has the person who killed with negligence going up the ladder. And actually going down the ladder, excuse me. And he has the person who killed on purpose sitting under the ladder. The ladder breaks. The man on the ladder falls on the man under the ladder. The man under the ladder gets killed like he was supposed to get killed. And the one over the ladder, now the witnesses see what happens. He killed with negligence. He has to run to a city of refuge. And perfect, it's a beautiful shidduch. We know Hashem does do that at times. The question is that what Hashem always does? And my Rosh Yeshiva said, you see from here, that is not always the case. Sometimes it's the case, but not always. And therefore, when this thug attacked this person and broke his bone and took his money, it is possible that this was a shidduch, that a person needed to have his money taken and needed to have his bone broken because of things that he did wrong. He needed to be punished. And Hashem could have had him fall down and break his bone, and he could have had him drop his wallet and not find it again. He could have done that. But conveniently, this person, the thug, has made a poor decision. to attack somebody. So Hashem puts them in this right place at the right time, or the wrong place at the wrong time, and the one who wants to attack attacks, the one who deserves to get attacked gets attacked, and it's a beautiful shidduch. That's possible. But it is not definite. We don't know if that's really what the story is. It is also possible that this man, who now has a broken bone and now has no money, that was not supposed to happen. Had the thug not made a poor choice, this man would have still had his money and still had his complete, he would have been completely healthy. The thug, because of his free will, did something that should not have happened. So my Rosh Hashiva said, you see from here that that could be the case. Because David says, I don't want a punishment to come through human beings. Because human beings have free will. And when you inject free will into the equation, things can happen that would not have happened otherwise. If it's coming directly from Hashem, then you know whatever's happening is perfectly calibrated. It is exactly what is supposed to happen. And if Hashem wants to exercise His rachmanus, His mercy, He can change things. But if Hashem wants to have rachmanus, but the human being has decided to attack, the human being can override Hashem's rachmanus. Hashem has mercy. And the human being can make a choice which will override it. Which means, as my Rabbi Ritzvi Berkowitz explained after the Rosh Hashiva Shir, he explained like this. This person who now has the broken bone has lost his money. Had he been a complete tzaddik, which no one is a complete tzaddik, but had he been a complete tzaddik, and there would be no stain on his record, no one's free will could do to him what he doesn't deserve. It would be impossible. This thug could try to attack him, but somehow the thug would be stopped. Because you can't hurt someone where there's nothing on his record to allow the person to get hurt. It's just not possible. However, this person who got hurt probably did have something on his record, like most people do. But even though, unfortunately, we all have things on our record, fortunately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has great rachmanus, and He does not punish us just right away. He gives us a long time to do teshuva. He may punish us in small increments, and that if you add them all together, then it becomes a full punishment. So instead of breaking his bone, he'll stub his toe 10 times. So the cumulative pain will be the same as the broken bone, maybe, or something like that. Whatever it is, he'll get a bad cold. And that's, you know, he'll be in bed, which would have happened with the broken bone. Something like that, but not a broken bone. Hashem could have done that way because Hashem has great rachmanus. The thug's decision to attack overrides, possibly, Hashem's rachmanus, and now this person is going to get hurt in a way that Hashem would not have hurt him. Now, it doesn't mean the person doesn't deserve it at all, because if he's absolutely undeserving, it's not going to happen. But he has a blemish on his record, and this will now be the punishment for that blemish. But this would not have been the preferred method of punishment. Had Hashem been running the show instead of the human being's free will, that would not have necessarily been the preferred method of punishment. Hashem is always running the show, but He allows people to make choices. And just as we can make choices to hurt ourselves, chas v'shalom, when we're not supposed to, a person can choose to walk in the middle of the street without looking and get hit by a car. You can't blame God for that. He made a choice and hurt himself. So too, a person can make a choice to hurt somebody else, and it should not have happened. And that's what you see from here. From David saying, I'd rather fall in the hands of Hashem, ki rabim rachamav, because He has great mercy. What do you mean He always has great mercy? What's the difference if it's in the hands of Hashem or hands of human beings? Because a human being's free will can override Hashem's great mercy. David therefore chooses the plague. Now, let's understand then in the beginning of this perek, Hashem is angry with the Jewish people. So He incites David against the Jewish people. Now normally Hashem doesn't incite anybody. This is a punishment to David. You're calling me someone who incites people? Okay, so I'll incite you. That's not the way Hashem normally does it. In the case of the murderer who did it by with negligence and the one who does it on purpose, Hashem makes the shirach and brings them together. He doesn't incite anybody. He doesn't make the person decide to fall on the other person. He puts them in the wrong place at the wrong time, and the shirach happens. In the case where, let's say, Hashem wanted this person to break his bone and lose his money, and therefore this thug comes and attacks him, he didn't incite the thug against him. The thug made a bad choice. So Hashem says, okay, you want to make a bad choice? This person deserves it. Here's a shirach. But Hashem doesn't incite people. Here, he's inciting him. He's getting David to do something that David would not have done otherwise. It's not that David made a poor choice and Hashem made a shirach between David and the Jewish people. David did not make a poor choice. Hashem made him make a poor choice as a punishment because he called Hashem a mesis, one who incites. Here, it's a shirach. Here, the Jews deserved punishment. David deserved punishment. So Hashem punished David in a way that would punish the Jewish people. This is a shirach. This is not free will doing what wouldn't have happened otherwise. This is free will doing what would have happened otherwise. Because it says Hashem got angry with the Jewish people. So the Jews deserved punishment. And so he incites David, and David is now the one through whom the punishment is going to come. Indirectly, really, because the punishment is ultimately through the plague. But David's the one who does the action that then brings the plague. Now, Hashem could have just brought a plague. He could have just brought a plague. That would have punished the Jewish people. But if he would have done that, then David wouldn't have been punished for having called Hashem a mesis, one who incites. David wouldn't have felt guilty, at least not the same type of guilt, had it been done differently. Had he not counted the Jewish people, and a plague would have come. David still would have felt guilty that it happened under his watch, that the Jewish people had a terrible plague. Like with the famine, he feels bad about that too. But it's not the same level of guilt as he's going to feel now. Because in this case, he actually did the action through which the plague comes. We haven't read it yet in the parak, but David is going to say, which we'll say for next time, but David is going to say that Hashem, don't punish the Jewish people, punish me. I'm the one who did the wrong thing over here, right? So that we'll discuss means Hashem next time. But the here Hashem wanted David to feel the guilt because he's punishing David. So it's through him that the punishment comes. But it goes beyond that. If you think it through to the next level. Hashem wants to punish the Jewish people. So he does it through David. David does something wrong, and now Hashem's going to punish the Jewish people. Okay? Fine. And again, he incites David. But then he gives David the choice of punishments. And David could have picked the punishment that would have included free will. He could have picked the enemy attacking the Jewish people. He could have picked the famine. Had David picked those, then the way the Jewish people would have been punished would have been in a way that may not have been exactly what Hashem would have done otherwise. Right? In the end, the Jews deserve to be punished. And there's a plague. So that means the plague is doing exactly what Hashem wanted it to do, because who controls the plague? Hashem controls the plague directly, not the human beings. And therefore, whoever died was supposed to die, whoever lived was supposed to live. But David could have picked, he could have picked the famine. He could have picked the enemy. Had he picked those, then there would have been people making free will choices, which would have possibly killed some Jews who would not have otherwise been killed. So not only does Hashem punish the Jewish people through David, he gives the opportunity for whether this punishment is going to be perfectly calibrated or whether there's going to be human element in it, he gives that choice to David. Why? Why would he give that choice to David? Why would he make it that way? So it seems to me that what Hashem is doing over here is He is bringing the whole thing full circle. David said to Shaul back in Shmuel Aleph, he said, I don't know why you're chasing me. Why are you hunting me down? I don't understand why. It's possible it's coming from Hashem. But it's also possible it's coming from human beings. Now, if it's coming from human beings, then it's not what Hashem wants, necessarily. It could be it's what Hashem wants, but not necessarily. So the second thing he says is, if it's a human being that's inciting you against me, I say they should be cursed because of what they're doing to me. They're using their free will to give me something that I don't think I deserve. That's what David says. If it's Hashem who's inciting you against me, then I say that I'll have to daven. And hopefully Hashem will accept my davening to stop it. But David never entertains the possibility that Shaul is making a free will choice to attack David. That he's not accepting. Either it's someone who's manipulating Shaul. Either it's Hashem, or it's, let's say, Doeg, the people.
Such a level, he knows it's Hashem, right?
No. Who says it was Hashem? Could be Doeg. Could be it was Doeg. We just said, when you say it's on such a level, you're presuming it has to be Hashem. It doesn't have to be Hashem. The rule is it could be a human being. That's not a lower level. A human being can do something to somebody that they didn't deserve. So David says, I don't know who's doing this. I don't know if it's Hashem who's inciting you, or if it's the people. He knew that it wasn't Shaul acting on his own. So he says it's got to be someone who is manipulating you. I don't know if it's Hashem, or if it's the people. But that means David is saying, I don't think I deserve this. I don't think I deserve this. If it's from the people, I really think it's from the people, I don't think I deserve this. If it's from Hashem, then I do deserve it, and I need to daven to remove it. But David is acknowledging already back then that there are two different ways things could happen. It could be this is a shirach, Hashem is bringing you against me, and it could be that it's from people. But Hashem doesn't incite people. That's not what Hashem does. Hashem doesn't incite people. But there really is another possibility over there. It could have been the people getting Shaul to do what he otherwise wouldn't have done. It could be Shaul making a bad choice. David ignores that possibility. So David says, Hashem is inciting you against me. What's the real truth? Shaul has a ruach ra. He has an evil spirit that besets him. And therefore, when he's acting, he's not acting with full
mental capacity.
Yeah, full mental capacity. Right, right.
So you say that Hashem is causing it?
So we can say Hashem is causing it, but that's not inciting. That's different than inciting, right? What's the difference between that and inciting? You see, let's say there is a hurricane and a tornado and a person is lifted off the ground and blown into another person. The person who was lifted off the ground survives, no problem. The person who he banged into dies. So this person was a weapon. Who wielded the weapon? Hashem. It wasn't. The person didn't do it. Is that Hashem inciting the person?
No.
Hashem's not inciting the person. The person's not making any choices over here. Hashem's using this person as a weapon. That's all. But there's no inciting going on over here. Shaul has a ruach ra. Now the ruach ra, this evil spirit, came about because of Shaul's poor choice. That's why he got the ruach ra, because of what he did wrong with Amalek and whatever it is. So he has a ruach ra. But who is using that ruach ra against David? Either it is Hashem, or it is the people who are manipulating that ruach. They're taking advantage of that ruach ra to get Shaul to attack David. But it's not inciting. It's not the same thing as inciting, as getting someone to do something wrong against somebody else. That's not what Hashem does. So here, the Hashem does do that with David. He makes David do something wrong against the people. But when it comes to the punishment, David here says that I want Hashem's punishment, not the people's punishment. Because people make free will choices to hurt other people. Hashem is Rabim Rachamav. Hashem has great mercy. And therefore, the best chance we have of the least amount of punishment is if it's directly from Hashem. Hashem doesn't incite. Inciting would imply that Hashem would get someone to do something bad. Hashem doesn't make people do things bad. And it's Hashem is he may use a person as a weapon. A person may make a bad choice, which then Hashem says, okay, you made a bad choice. Okay, I'll use that bad choice for my purposes, to bring a punishment against somebody else. It could be that'll do, but that's not the same thing. He doesn't make a person make a bad choice. That he does not do. Paro. Paro's heart is hardened. Hashem didn't make Paro make a bad choice. All he did was, he took away the incentive for Paro to give in. Because a normal human being wouldn't be able to withstand all of those plagues and still dig in his heels. So Hashem gave Paro the strength to still be able to choose bad. But he didn't make Paro choose bad. He didn't make Paro choose bad. He gave Paro the ability to choose bad, even in the face of terrible plagues. So here as well, David is made to do bad, because he accused Hashem of acting like that. But in the end, David is given the choice of how the punishment is going to happen, and David chooses to put it all in the hands of Hashem, because Hashem is Rabim Rachamav. Hashem is ultimately going to do things in the most merciful way possible. Yeah.
Seems to be this just teaching a lesson, because David is, because of the godless that he was, that even the tiny fraction of accusing Hashem of inciting,
yes,
it almost becomes like a mida keneged mida with the same.
Yes, and no, it's definitely a mida keneged mida, and you're right that it is a tiny infraction. We're not talking about a huge sin over here. Yeah. David wasn't, you know, he didn't blaspheme or anything like that. But on his level, he's taking the task for something like this.
Didn't he have to take that choice? Otherwise, he'd have to face God and say, because of me, these people are being punished in some manner.
And that's true anyway. They're being punished because of him anyway.
Right, but then he'd be having to ask for teshuva again from God, that he is the catalyst of somehow that this is going to go through him.
I guess so. But
he can't choose otherwise.
He was given a choice. Hashem gave him the choice.
His choice on his level, he couldn't have chosen.
Okay. No? All right. But yes. Hashem wants David to say clearly this, and obviously this is the right choice. And Hashem wants David to clearly make this choice to emphasize the fact that when it's totally being run by Hashem, then you're in a much better place than if it is if there's a human being involved in the thing. Yeah.
It seems that David's free will was taken away here.
Yes, in this case it was. This is the only time that Hashem actually incited somebody. But that's because David accused Hashem of doing that.
Okay.
Right. But in this case, right. That's exactly right. But
he's still saying it's a punishment.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have a choice.
But it's a punishment to David for having accused Hashem of doing this. So Hashem says, okay, you tell me to do this, fine, I'll do it.
Do we know what the Klal Yisrael did wrong that Hashem...
No, that's what Rashi says. We don't know what the punishment here is for. The Jews definitely did something wrong. They definitely did something wrong. They're not blameless over here. But we don't know what it was for.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.